you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I got to tell you, by the way, today we're on Skype. There's an issue with the ISDN line. Hopefully everybody hears me just fine. I've gotten a lot of email based on the call that I took at the end of the show yesterday from a fellow named Isaac, I believe from Colorado. Yesterday I took the show talking about how we should handle with a very heavy, heavy fist these Somali pirates. And Isaac eloquently said, look, here's the deal. That country's really been taken advantage of for decades. Other countries have dumped their waste there. They've been forgotten and left. So, you know, these people are downtrodden. They need something. I did a little bit of research, as most of you would probably expect I would after the show yesterday. And as it turns out, again, there's over 300 captive hostages that these pirates have taken off of ships. Several of the ships that they, I shouldn't say several, a few of the ships that they hijacked and are still out to sea under control of these pirates have been bringing aid to Somalia. A number of them in their ship's manifest show that they have perishable goods. Those perishable goods have now perished. So the Somali pirates have done more harm than good when it comes to the aid that they're looking for. They're certainly not taking the money from these piracy ransoms. And they're not taking that money and buying goods and services and whatnot for all of these people that are in Somalia. It also gives somewhat of the idea, if you were in Compton, and in Compton you were raised under, you know, several generations of bad stuff going on, does that give you the right to be a criminal? The answer is no. As a matter of fact, a similar situation in Harlem on the island of Manhattan, Harlem in New York, that neighborhood has actually been going through the last 7 or 8 years a renaissance of sorts and been getting quite a bit nicer. In fact, you know, former President Bill Clinton somewhat started this by putting his offices in the Harlem area. So just kind of a little bit of a backup. A lot of people, oh, tell Isaac to shut up, doesn't he? No, that's not fair. Isaac has his views, and any one person that really has the nerve or the, I should say the will to call up and give their opinion. There's others that have it as well. And I'm happy to not just take callers of people who agree with me, but people who disagree with me on points. That is what is good radio. Today, we're going to get into the single greatest threat to our rights as gun owners in this country. We've been talking about this whole issue with Mexico and guns and all of that. And that has become the single biggest threat because Obama has now chimed in. And Obama is trying to skirt the process and skirt your rights. He's outlined his plan on how to take your guns and do it effectively, efficiently, and could actually be done literally within a couple, 2 or 3 days. So we're going to hit all of this when we come into the second segment of the show after this break that's coming up. We're going to talk about what he's doing, how he's doing it, and the influences he's got coming in from international sources, namely that of the nation of Mexico. The very problem that we've got has to do with drugs and Mexico and what's going on. So you and I are going to be expected to pay the price of druggies in the U.S., the manufacturers in Mexico, by giving up our guns. And a phrase? I don't think so. More when we return from the break.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So we've been reporting on this show and in many other sources throughout the country that the Obama administration and other anti-gun politicians have been spouting 90 to 95 to as high as 97% allegedly of the guns that have been seized from Mexican drug cartels are coming from straw purchases in the U.S. What a straw purchase means is someone who can legally buy a gun goes into a gun store, fills out all the paperwork, the 4417, blah, 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 takes the gun, and then gives it to someone to illegally transport across the Mexican border, or that they would illegally transport across the Mexican border themselves and then give it to essentially these drug cartels. Now, that's what the administration would have you believe. Some of these sources, including a Mexican source, says as many as 2,000 guns a day are being seized in Mexico that came from U.S. straw purchases in the U.S. All of that is total lies, absolute total lies. We reported on the show before, Fox News actually did a great job looking up all this information. Of the roughly 29,000 guns seized in 2 years, that would be overall, so 14,500 a year, far from 2,000 a day. All right, that would be 7.25 days worth of guns, according to a particular Mexican official. So 29,000 guns, 11,000 were given to the ATF to trace. That means that clearly 18,000 did not originate from the U.S. The other 11,000, they either figured did or thought may have. Of the 11,000, 5,100 were traced back to the United States. So 5,100 out of 29,000, that is 17%. Of that 5,100, the vast majority of them came through the State Department approved purchases, where through official channels, other entities or governments in other parts of the world, be it South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, who knows where, would purchase, apply for a permit and get granted an affidavit to be able to purchase all of these weapons from U.S. manufacturers. They then go through the U.S. State Department. They get an end user certificate. The end user signs off that certificate, gives it to the State Department all as well. What they do with those guns, grenades, rocket launchers from there is entirely up to the end user. Now, they are supposed to use them for what the forms they filled out called for, but the U.S. has no enforcement overseas, so they can then very easily take those guns and sell them on the black market. They could have very easily applied to buy all that weaponry directly from Mexican drug cartels. So of the 5,100, the vast majority came through these legal purchases that the State Department monitored. They did not in any way, shape, or form come from American citizens purchasing guns legally from a gun store and then illegally transferring them to someone or to a group of drug cartels. That has not happened. Here is President Obama in Mexico City. He's been meeting with the president of Mexico. Here's what he says. Meeting face-to-face with Mexican President Felipe Calderon, President Obama on Thursday said the U.S. is to blame for much of Mexico's drug violence. And he set up a major congressional gun control battle by calling on the Senate to ratify a treaty designed to track and cut the flow of guns to other countries. Mr. Obama said he wants to renew a ban on some semi-automatic weapons, but that it's not likely to pass Congress. Instead, he called for the Senate to ratify a decade-old hemisphere-wide treaty that would require nations to mark all weapons produced in the country and track them to make sure no weapons were exported to countries where they were banned. Now, keep in mind, the U.S. authorized the majority of these purchases, probably, to use their number, 90%. So this wouldn't do anything to stem the flow of the U.S. and the State Department providing guns to these guys. All right? Here's a quote. I will not pretend that this is Mexico's responsibility alone. The demand for these drugs in the United States is what's helping keep cartels in business, Mr. Obama said at a joint news conference with President Calderon of Mexico. This war is being waged with guns purchased not here, but in the United States. More than 90% of the guns recovered in Mexico come from the United States, many from gun shops that line our shared border. Absolute lies out of the mouth of the President of the United States. So this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to say, essentially, the people in the United States who buy and use the drugs that come from or through Mexico, their habit is so heavy that the manufacturers and distributors of these drugs, the Mexican drug cartels, have gone to war with the police and military in Mexico who are trying to put to stem the flow. So we, as U.S. gun owners, need to give our guns and our gun rights up because of the druggies in America. So we've got druggies in the United States. And somehow or another, us giving up our guns and gun rights is supposed to be good for the greater good of druggies? Are you kidding me? If that is not the most insane disconnect I have ever heard out of the mouth of anybody ever elected to any office, I can't think of any. It absolutely is mind-boggling. Like I said before, I want to smash my head into a huge brick wall to get dumb enough to try and understand this, because it makes no sense. It is absolutely reprehensible what the president is talking about. Now, here's more garbage that's going on during this meeting. I've curbed some of this stuff out of here, right? Here's the deal. This treaty that they want to pass, right? It's something that came through during the Clinton administration, and it's never passed. So isn't there a time limit? Shouldn't there be a time limit on treaties? Yeah, you know, we didn't pass it within a year. It's done. Okay, here's the deal. But the treaty is likely to run into opposition from gun rights backers, and the Senate's top Democrat was noncommittal Thursday about the measure. That's Harry Reid out of the state of Nevada. Not a huge fan of Harry Reid, however, I will tell you this. He is a pro-gun guy. He owns guns. He hunts. He does not support a bunch of anti-gun legislation. So at least we've got that going for us with the majority leader in the Senate. President Calderon of Mexico urged the U.S. to consider gun registry and a prohibition on bulk sales of firearms. So now we've got the president of a corrupt country trying to dictate what he thinks the policy in the United States should be. You know, why don't you clean up your own backyard, Mr. Calderon? Once your backyard is in at least respectable condition, then you can start talking about ours. Until then, shut your mouth. On other issues, Mr. Calderon pushed Mr. Obama to develop an immigration policy that would legalize illegal Mexican immigrants and establish a future flow of workers. We're facing 10% unemployment in this country as it is. Now imagine if all of the illegal Mexicans who were working in the United States were not in the United States working. The actual people who are supposed to be here legally, that were born here, that came through the legal processes to come here, might actually be earning a bit of a living. A lot of the illegal Mexicans get paid under the table, so they don't pay taxes anyhow. Then they send a lot of that money back to Mexico. Great for Mexico. Not great for us. This is more of a topic that I would handle if I was hosting Day Champion show. However, for here, it has to do with the rights of the U.S. and how they're being stemmed and looked at. Here's another thing. They also, let's see, they disagreed on a couple of things. They also disagreed on a program allowing some Mexican trucks to operate far into the U.S. Mexico says it is entitled to operate trucks in the U.S. under a free trade agreement, but Congress and Obama ended the program earlier this year. So the Mexican president says that they are entitled to operate their trucks in this country. That's about the time to check out and fly home, President Obama. As much as I hate using that term, President Obama, you've got to be kidding me. We're entitled to do that. You know, I'm sorry, but I as a gun owner and you as gun owners, just American citizens, just we are entitled to our rights under the Second Amendment. So here's the deal. There's a treaty that overrules the Constitution. Treaties overrule the Constitution. There's a treaty before Congress, before the Senate. They're the only house that has to pass it. The House does not, the Senate does. That would essentially have a lot of gun control limits on it. And Obama is trying to get the Senate to pass that because he knows it won't pass through Congress. And he knows that the people will not put up with it. So this means action from us. You have absolutely got to get a hold of your two senators and Senator Harry Reid's office, who is the majority leader in the Senate, and demand that they do not look at this treaty. As a matter of fact, your demand should be that they are to dispose of this treaty to never be seen again. It should not be sitting on a shelf collecting dust for any whim of anybody down the road in another 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years to look at ratifying. You must reach your senators. You must reach them today. You must leave voicemails, send emails. You must send handwritten letters, whatever it is. Handwritten letters get the most effect. Try that on top of the phone calls. Emails get the least, but throw them out if that's all you've got. Get a hold of your senators, your two senators from your state, wherever you reside. Get a hold of Senate Majority Harry Reid in his office and let them know absolutely not on this treaty that Obama's talking about to stem our gun rights. None of this. Take a breather. We'll be back after the break.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, folks, welcome back. Now, this came out of the filth hole mouth of the Mexico's ambassador to the U.S. a few days ago. Mexico's ambassador to the U.S. has urged America to stop the flow of guns and cash that pass into his country, fueling the country's drug wars. Arturo Saclarahan said U.S. money and weapons provided the drug cartels with the means to corrupt, bribe, and kill. President Barack Obama is due to visit, blah, blah, blah. Okay, more than 6,000 people died last year in Mexico's in their drug-related violence, and Mexico believes 90% of the weapons used by drug cartels came through U.S. Total lies! My goodness. In an interview with CBS's Face the Nation program this last Sunday, Mr. Sarkahan, is that right? S-A-R-U-K-H-A. It sounds like he's from frickin' Iran. Said that lifting the U.S. ban on military-style weapons in 2004 has been a crucial factor. Basically, the expiration of the assault weapons ban, which did nothing. Well, you could still get those guns. They just didn't have, you know, the flash hider. Instead, they had a muzzle brake. And instead of having a grenade launcher that was ground down, not the launcher, but the little tab for it, and the tab for a bayonet was no longer available on the barrel. The same damn gun operating the same damn way. There's a direct correlation between the expiration of the assault weapons ban and our seizure of assault weapons, he said. We cannot determine how Congress and the administration will move on this. What we will say is that reinstating the ban could have a profound impact on the number and caliber of the weapons going down to Mexico. I've got to tell you, I would like to call on the President of the United States and the State Department to kick this guy, Arturo Saracan, the Mexican ambassador to the United States, out of the United States for spreading falsehoods and lies to the American people. He should have his political rights in this country, I should say rights, his political authorities in this country stripped, and he should be booted the hell out of the United States, of all of her territories, never to return. Because he is obviously trying to mislead the American people, as well as a lot of the politicians up on the Hill, as well as now, straight out of the mouth of our president should be gone. He should be sent the hell out of this country. There is no room for that, and we should call on that. We should definitely call on trying to get this guy kicked out. All right. Again, I have been a proponent of the idea of having a law that we can flip to, which it looks like fraud is the way. If there are politicians who would speak their mouths in basically a fraudulent manner to try and get us to believe something that is absolutely not true, and that information is readily available to them, if they don't already know it, they should. It's like this. Ignorance is no excuse for violating the law. If I'm on a stretch of highway and I figure, you know, I don't see a speed limit sign. I haven't seen one in miles. So it looks like, I ought to be going about 80. Hammer down, I'm going 80. As it turns out, the speed limit's 65 and I get pulled over by highway patrol. Ignorance is no excuse for the law, for violating the law. So ignorance of, well, I didn't see that it's in fact only 17%, and the vast majority of those came through State Department purchases on these guns, which is why I said 90 to 95%. Okay, that's no excuse. That ignorance is no excuse for violating the law. So now, who can we arrest on fraud? Who could we literally go do a citizen's arrest on for fraudulently saying these things? Well, Eric Holder, President Obama now, and Hillary Clinton. Okay, those three that are aligned in the executive branch. How about that? How about Obama and our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and our Attorney General, Eric Holder, all could technically be arrested, citizens arrest, for fraud, for speaking this BS on this 90-plus percent of guns are coming from the U.S. into Mexico. Absolute fraudulent lies. Are we going to tolerate this? We shouldn't. These emails and these phone calls have got to go out. We've absolutely got to get these out. I tell you what I'm going to do. Over the weekend, my intent is to draft a letter that I'm going to post on my website on 2aradio.com that you can copy and paste and send to your senators. You can send to the president. You can send to the Secretary of State, you can send to the Attorney General, you can send to all of your friends and family and circle of influence to have them do the same thing. I'll even provide a link to all of the contact information that you can go to find the senators and the different folks in Congress based on where you live directly, their email addresses and phone numbers. I will put that up over the weekend on 2aradio.com. So you can go on there. Look at all this stuff, real easy. You can copy and paste a letter to go out. Keep in mind, of all the things you can do to contact these people, there's email, there's phone calls, there's handwritten letters. Or there's, you know, letters that go through the mail, whether they be handwritten or if they come out of a computer and sent in and hand signed. The most effective is the letter that you mail. Second is the phone call. Third is the email, right? More when we return. Stick with us through the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one. Assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I've got to carry on with something here. Here's a quote from Obama. I have not backed off on assault weapons ban. Political realities make reinstating the assault weapons ban extraordinarily difficult, President Obama said on Thursday while in Mexico, but he stressed he is still in favor of the gun control measure. Now, keep in mind, he's obviously realized that it has a hard time, it's going to have a hard time passing Congress because the people of the United States, the vast majority, don't want it. He's still intent on seeing it happen against the majority of what's going, of the majority of Americans, right? Obama, joined by Mexican President Felipe Calderon in a press conference in Mexico City, said that Calderon discussed the ban extensively, that's a quote, during their meeting earlier in the day. Mexican officials have said that in recent days they would like to see the ban reinstated, noting that more than 90% of the guns, blah, 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 lies. The White House was quick to blunt command. I'm sorry. The White House was quick to blunt comments Attorney General Eric Holder made earlier this year, supportive of pursuing a reinstatement. But Obama said Thursday that he has not changed his position. I have not backed off at all from my belief that the assault weapons ban makes sense, Obama said, adding that he is not, quote, under any illusions that reinstating the ban would be easy. You're damn right it would not be easy. Instead, the president says, his administration is focusing on enforcing laws that are already on the books. Imagine that. Like targeting guns that are illegally smuggled over the border that are helping to fuel extraordinary violence as the drug trade soars. That's something we can stop. You're right. Why don't you have your State Department not sell any more guns to Mexico? Why not let the Mexican military get AK-47s from China instead of M-16s from the United States? Okay, that way you can say, all right, absolutely none of those guns are coming directly from the U.S. They might have been made in the U.S., but if they're coming into Mexico from another source, we're selling them overseas through the State Department. They're shipping them to Mexico rather than us shipping them directly. Calderon, President Calderon of Mexico, acknowledged that the assault weapons ban, opposed by many Republicans and some conservative Democrats, is one of the thorny topics, and he said it has to be approached with a great deal of sensitivity. We know that it is a politically delicate topic, Calderon said, claiming that his government respects the policies and decisions of Congress. If he did, he wouldn't be opening his mouth. Obama said that he would push the Senate to ratify the CIFTA, an interhemispherical small arms treaty that was signed during the Clinton administration but stalled in the upper chamber. Obama said he is confident the two countries can make progress. You know what? Forget about it. Here's what we're going to do. Folks, write this down. The switchboard to the U.S. Senate, the phone number is 202-224-3121. Right now, I'm going to call that number. All right, let's get this a call. 202-224-3121, and I'm going to get my senator and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's office on the phone. Let's see if we can do this. Kerry, can you give me a hand with this? Here we go. We're getting them on the line. We're dialing right now. See if we can get this main switchboard up. 202-224-3121 is the number. Hello.
The Capitol.
Hi. I'm wondering if I could be connected to Senator Harry Reid's office. I'm a constituent from Nevada.
One moment.
See how this goes.
Hello, this is Senator Harry Reid of Searchlight, Nevada. Thank you for calling my office in Washington, D.C. If you'd like to speak to one of my staff members about an issue, please press 1.
Pressing 1.
You would prefer to leave me a message? Well,
please hold.
Let's see who picks up. It's 10:30.
Senator Harry's office, how may I help you?
Hi, my name is Bill Carnes. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Adele.
Hi, Isabel. How are you doing?
Fine, and yourself?
I'm doing well. My name is Bill Carnes. I live in Nevada. I am a constituent. You're live on the air. I'm just calling to say that I would like to, as a citizen of Nevada and a voter, I live in Pahrump in Nye County. I guess I'm being transferred.
Good morning, press office.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. My name is Bill Carnes. I am hosting Two-Way Radio. I live in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
I like to just call up. Two-Way Radio is based on Second Amendment. I know that Senator Harry Reid is a big supporter of the Second Amendment and gun rights. And President Obama has recently called for, just yesterday in Mexico, for the Senate to ratify the CIFTA treaty, which is stalled mm-hmm. in the Senate over a decade ago,
mm-hmm.
to erode the gun rights of Americans. And I, as a citizen of Nevada and a voter, would like to say that I oppose that coming up in the Senate to essentially curtail any congressional form of, I guess, laws that would go through with this treaty. And I would support that the senator does not bring that to the floor for any sort of a vote.
Okay, thank you, sir. Can I have your name again? Sorry, I missed that. I got you were from 2-way radio.
It's Bill Carnes, C-A-R-N-S. I'm a resident of Pahrump in Nye County, Nevada.
Great. Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, that's the way it gets done right there. Call the number, 202-224-3121. Get a hold of Senator Reid as well as your two senators so that everybody knows, because Reid is really the guy in charge of bringing stuff up on the floor. So that's how it's done. Polite, professional, courteous. It is the CIFTA treaty, which was brought in during the Clinton administration and stalled in the Senate. So we do not want this to happen. That is going to be the fastest way, literally. All the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, and the signatures are on there. All they need is a vote. And if that vote goes through, we're done when it comes to basically a pseudo weapons ban so that druggies in America can buy their crap from Mexico without them having to have a bunch of dead people on their hands. I really don't understand how that's supposed to work. So there you go. Call that number and get her done, all right? We need to have this happen. It is unreal to me that we actually have politicians who acknowledge the vast majority of Americans want to keep their Second Amendment rights, and they're using a problem in a neighboring country to try and erode those rights against the wishes and the wills of the majority of Americans. Can you imagine? This is exactly what socialism is all about. This is exactly what it is. We don't really care what you guys think. We are going to take control. This is the government speaking, right? We're going to take control of all of this stuff, right? You know, the headline on USA Today a couple of days ago on Wednesday was, most Americans are okay with big government, comma, for now, dot, dot, dot. So it's okay to have a bigger government? Guys, we are in the worst recession that we have had since the Great Depression of the late 1920s and early 1930s. The worst recession we've had. It has been shown historically, time after time after time after time, that the very worst people in the world for handling finances are elected officials. The absolute worst. So, with that being said, we certainly do not want to have a huge government having all of this money. It looks like Isaac in Colorado from yesterday is on the phone. Let's see. Isaac, are you there?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Isaac. It's the same Isaac from yesterday, correct?
Yeah. I hope I'm not the only one listens to your show here. I mean,
well, welcome back.
Well, thanks. Good to be back. Yeah, I just had a comment. It seems like what they do is they just try the most outrageous stuff to push out there to see what's going to stick and to see who's going to get upset about it. In fact, I was just reading today that the Thomas More Law Center has filed a federal lawsuit against Janet Napolitano over the right-wing extremist policy memo that came out.
Yes, and you're talking about the one that came out in Missouri.
Well, no, this is the one that came out from the DHS. It's called Right Wing Extremism, Current Economic and Political Climate Fueling Research. Yeah, that one.
Right, the one that came out last week. Then.
Well,
yeah.
Michael Savage, Greg Cunningham, and the Thomas More Law Center have filed a federal lawsuit against Janet Napolitano. For that.
You know what? I got to tell you, I like nothing better than people who are in some sort of position within, either they're in Capitol Hill, they're elected, or they're appointed and approved, whatever it is within the administration. I absolutely love it when the people take it into their own hands to file these lawsuits. The next step would actually, again, as I've said before, and this might be a little extreme in the thought, but to actually do a citizen's arrest on these people if, in fact, they, honest to God, have violated the law. A little bit more than probable cause, if you will. So if anybody does, they don't look like idiots. But, Isaac, I'm glad that you called in with that. I was unaware that they filed this lawsuit. Do you know when it went in?
Yeah, it was yesterday, I believe. It doesn't have a date here. And it's on InfoWars, Alex Jones's website. That's where I saw it.
Sounds good.
But it just seems like what they do is they just push through the most outrageous thing they can to further their agenda, but then they wait and they see what everybody's going to react to it.
I tell you how I look at this. It's like going fishing and you're not sure what bait to use. So you're going to drop in a little bit of bait, see if you get some bites. If not, you're going to pull it up and you're going to drop something else in there. You might be fly fishing with a woolly bugger and then switch over to some sort of two-eyed goofy fly and see what nips. And this is exactly what the administration is doing, is they're trying different baits to see what will get a bite.
Yeah. But the thing is that they create the problem. Then they come out with their solution, and then they push it through. When all along it's been them that created the problem to begin with, but they're all furthering an agenda.
You bet your ass. Had the war on drugs actually been successful, fine. If they were even honest with these numbers, if they looked at the numbers of these guns in Mexico and they said, look, 17% actually came from the U.S. How many were approved by the State Department? Well, let's see, like 87.
Probably most of them.
Had they actually looked at these numbers before they opened their mouth, they're like, well, you know what? We can try to build a lot of support and muster on this before the real numbers come out. Let's try to get the guns this way. So you're right.
Yeah.
Going on.
Yeah, and in fact, it's even funnier. The Obama administration is now having to defend John Yoo, the guy who was part of the Bush administration, who went through with all the torture and all that, was pushing for all the torture memos and all that. The Obama administration is sending lawyers to defend him against law. So I mean, it's just gotten so convoluted. People who think that there's a difference between Republicans and Democrats are really seriously deluded.
Transparency of government is absolutely false. It's, Obama can stand up there and read all these wonderful things off his teleprompter all he wants. I wonder if he actually knows what he's saying, because this transparency in government is BS, because he's obviously standing in Mexico lying.
Well, you take away that teleprompter, and Obama's favorite conjunction is because that's all he says, so it's not like he has a clue what's going on.
Isaac, I have said for years, I have done a lot of public speaking. I have stood in front of groups of thousands. I've stood in groups in front of small groups. And I got to tell you, the word does not sit well with me. And when I train other people to do what I do, I tell them the word is not the full word. The full word is duh. So if you're going to stand up there in front of God and everybody and use the full word and say, duh, I would love it if and of course that's to get them to keep from saying it. And that is what I would love to see Obama do next time the teleprompter goes out. Instead of saying, just say, duh. I'm a fan of that.
I love it.
Thanks for the call, Isaac. I appreciate
your
call.
All right, Bill, keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you. Okay. So good information from Isaac. Now, several of you sent in emails yesterday that you didn't like Isaac's position on the whole thing when it came to the Somalia. But as you can see, Isaac is online with this whole deal. Everybody's got their own opinion. Somebody's out there saying, there's no way that we should be filing lawsuits or we should be considering citizens' arrest of these officials. There's no way that we should be fighting the whole, getting in the middle of the Senate business of possibly ratifying this treaty. You know what? We should be. And I got to tell you, I feel at a little bit of a disadvantage when calling the Senate offices to tell the senators not to bring up this whole treaty for consideration. And the thing is, I only have two senators to call, because a Senate majority leader is already my senator. You guys should be making three calls to your two senators, but whether like an Isaac could call his two senators from Colorado plus Harry Reid's office and let him know, don't bring this up. Do not bring this up. It is you and I. It is the people gathering together to get this done with. You have seen in just during this session of Congress, you have seen how effective we are at getting stuff done. When we call, when we email, when we send letters to the people on the Hill, doesn't really matter much for the administration, but we've got to now start with that. Again, I will pen together a letter that you can go on to 2aradio.com sometime over this weekend. I'll have it up by sometime on Sunday. I know I'll have it up on Sunday because I, a little bit of personal information here, I'm a NASCAR fan. And on Sundays, I love to throw NASCAR on TV and sit down and either sit down at my reloading press as the cars are running around the track, eat some cheese crackers and a little bit of summer sausage going on, you know, have a couple of sodas, washing it down, take a nap, wake up with 20 or 30 laps to go, and watch the end of the race. I got to tell you, that's my Sunday. So I will have this letter up by then to not interfere with what I would normally want to do. However, it's important enough, I put NASCAR on the old DVR, and I'll watch it later if I have to make sure that this gets up. So you guys will be able to see that. We need to have action. You need to get on your email list and send it to everybody that you think will follow along and send them links to forward these emails to all the senators involved. And, you know, send it to all your senators. Send it to every senator if you want, but certainly yours are the ones that need to listen. If they get absolutely bombarded with emails over the weekend, they come back to their offices on Monday and they are absolutely bombarded with emails and voicemails that this is not going to stand. That means that the Obama administration is going to have to change bait again and try to drop this lure somewhere else. And you know what we're going to do then? We're going to rally then. Because I flat guarantee you, if he's pushed to do some form of executive order, it ain't going to hold up muster in court. There's no way. Stick with us, guys. We're going to have a little bit more about this and sum up the show after this break. Stay tuned.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, I want to get to an email that was sent to me a few days back. It's just there's been so much going on, I haven't gotten to it. This is from a listener by the name of Monica Jordan. Monica says, Bill, I love your show. John Stadtmiller is a saint. I sent him a pretty emotional email a couple of months ago about us females needing some men to step up to the plate and volunteering to teach us about guns and self-protection. With all this preparedness that we need to do out there, there's a large population of women who don't have the resources for self-defense, for the self-defense aspect. Not with just complete education, but with arms, and also to pay large sums of money to get educated and trained. It's an intimidating process to do alone. The people at the gun shops are either too busy or just want to sell you something and get it over with. After my email, your show started, and have learned a lot. I got to tell you, by the way, I'm pausing in this email for a second. You know, Monica, it just kind of worked out. I've sat in for Dave Champion on several occasions. By the way, folks, great show. Listen to Dave, 3 o'clock Central, weekdays. And John got a hold of me one time, just as I was about to start a show. I did 3 shows in a row because Dave was out of town doing some stuff. And he said, you know, it's not just another pretty voice on the other end. You actually have some good content. What do you say? We spoke about a week later. I actually chose the content. And I had to sell John on the idea. And I got to tell you, it's worked out well. I've heard some good things from John and got a lot of good emails. The show is growing. Listenership is out there. I really appreciate it. So with all that being said, Monica carries on with a little bit more of a rant, and it's great. And she finishes up with asking, she says, I have Smith & Wesson 9mm M&P, standing for military and police. Smith & Wesson M&P compact that holds 12 rounds of 9mm. Loading the magazines is killing my thumbs, which I continuously practice loading and unloading, and exercising my very small hands. I am looking for a magazine loader for this type of handgun and was wondering what you would recommend. I looked online, and there is so much, I'm just not sure. I would appreciate some advice. This is 105-pound female that is not going down uneducated or without a fight. Thanks, Monica Jordan. Monica, you rock. You are the type of person that is why 2A Radio exists and why I get my lazy butt up, my non-morning person up at 6 a.m. on the West Coast every day, get my stuff together, and I'm in the studio by 7, and here speaking with everybody here till 8. This is, again, all Pacific time for me. With that being said, the HKS Magazine Speed Loader is what you're looking for, Monica. HKS Magazine Speed Loader. The thing is great. They come in different sizes for different types of ammunition and guns. They have a single stack for 1911. Why you'd need an assistance to thumb load the easiest magazine in the world on a 1911, I don't know. But they sell them all over the place. If you can't find one locally, just call up and ask. It's got a little thumb device, so there's some leverage. You load it, the magazine, into this device, and the device has kind of it's really set up by caliber, whether it's a double stack or a single stack, and whether it's a double stack large style for 10mm 45 or smaller style for, say, 40 Smith & Wesson or 9mm 380, whatever it is. And you can put different length magazines in the same loader. The only handgun magazine loader I've ever used is the HKS Magazine Speed Loader. They work really well, so Monica, that's what I'd recommend for you. All right? Folks, thanks very much. I hope to see your emails. I hope that you end up going to 2aradio.com, and God willing, I'll be with you Monday. Thanks a bunch.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.